The other day, we got an email sent in to us that says, over the last number of years, there has been a problem with the parking of cars on the footpath on Woodstock Street in Athy. It began with just one car, but has now risen to between three and four. It occurs at residential properties, but also people who are coming into the town. The four wheels are up on the path and photos are attached to show us. And this listener says that he has contacted local councillors and has not received any satisfactory response. In fact, most ignored his email, while one said that they would investigate it, but they've heard nothing since. He says, I'm now reaching out to your good selves at KFM in the hope that you may be more successful in bringing about a resolution. I'm not sure if this is a council or a Garda matter. However, in the driver theory test questions, it states clearly that parking on a footpath is illegal. A number of weeks ago, this parking was raised on social media regarding the impediment to people with mobility issues, but nothing has changed. Numerous public car parking spaces are located within 100 metres of where this is happening. The email goes on to say, the footpaths were upgraded within the last number of years to an excellent standard. Local councillors quite rightly publicised their role in getting this done on both traditional and social media. However, during this fanfare loophole, all of them neglected to say that some of the footpaths will be used as almost a private car park. One of the basic pillars of a republic is that all citizens should be treated equally, but the George Orwell line that some are more equal than others comes to mind in this situation. And the email says, can you please check with the councillors or public representatives regarding this? If they're happy with it, perhaps they will give a list of any more footpaths around Athy that it's permissible to park on. Well, Labour Senator Mark Wall is with me on the line now. And Mark, is this email correct in what's being said? Is it a huge problem out on Woodstock Street?
Well, there's an issue on Woodstock Street. There's no doubt about that. Good morning to you, Owen. The listener and subscriber is actually right. It is obviously illegal to park on footpaths, but there's been a pinch point at Woodstock Street for a number of years now. I've spoken to the person in charge of pay parking in Athy in the recent number of days. There is a review to take part, and as part of that, we're to look at the whole Woodstock area as regards residents parking. But I would call on the people who are parking illegally on the footpaths, you know, to take cognizance of those vulnerable path users, particularly those with buggies and wheelchairs. You know, it is illegal at the end of the day, Owen. So, you know, we need to do something about it. There is a review going on, which will happen by the end of the year, you know, for specific parking spaces in the Woodstock area. That will happen. But in the meantime, we need to clear the footpaths for the vulnerable road or footpath users, and that needs to happen. So I think that I'll be following up on this. You know, it's come to light this morning. It has been mentioned before. It is an issue and it needs to be acted upon.
What about those that are living in the houses along Woodstock Street, though, that would say, sure, it's just outside my door? Where else could they park, Mark?
Well, Athy has more public car parking spaces than any other town in County Kildare, so there's plenty of parking around. There's parking around the corner in Truley Lane. But that's what I'm saying to you, Owen, is that we need to have parking bays, distinct parking bays on Woodstock Street. That's something I followed over a number of years, along with a lot of public reps in that area as well. And that's why I followed up with the locals, the person in charge of parking in Athy, who informs me that a review will happen by the end of the year, which includes a parking bay, on the Woodstock Street. So that's something that we need to all follow up on. But there is a pinch point there on Woodstock Street. There's been issues with speeding there in the past as well. But we cannot have people parking on footpaths. You know, vulnerable footpath users need to have access to those footpaths at all times.
Yeah, we were down in Athy only a few weeks ago and we were doing the roundtable discussion. And what I found as well is that if the cars weren't parked on the footpath, they're parked on the road. So then you have two lanes of traffic essentially coming and meeting each other in the middle, which is also dangerous.
Yeah, and there has been a number of accidents on that road as well, and we have some vulnerable users coming back from the care centre there who've been on about pedestrian crossing in the Woodstock Street area as well for a number of years. So there's an issue there. There's absolutely no doubt about that. As I say, I've contacted the person in charge. He tells me there will be a review. I've put forward a number of suggestions for that over the years, and I've seen actually drawings as well that have been made up for that particular area, Owen. So we'll be following up with councillors and through my own office as well. There needs to be some something done. But, you know, it is illegal. And, you know, that area needs to be defined parking for residents there who can park then freely and safely on the road.
All right. Well, I have you, Mark. I know that you raised a couple of issues in the Shannon in the last few days, and one in particular to do with electricity and maybe those vulnerable customers or those who are not using the electricity.
Yeah, thanks very much for allowing me to highlight this one. The issue here is that we have 5% of vulnerable people who have not got the electricity credit from their electrical supplier. Now, what happened here is that I had a gentleman from Castledermot who highlighted this with me about 3 to 4 weeks ago, and he was actually taken care of through his own devices, but I also did some work for him. And then I have had two other customers since then. And what's happening here is that there is 5% of those low-usage customers who have not received their energy credit. So I'm putting a call out today, if you have not, to check with your electrical supplier. Because one of the gentlemen I dealt with last week, what turned out was that he had 3 phone calls demanding a bill, outstanding bill for him. But when I checked with the CRU and indeed the electrical supplier, it turned out he was actually a vulnerable customer and he should have got the credits in the first place. So instead of owing the company money, his supplier money, they now owe him money. So, you know, there's 5% of people throughout the state who haven't received these credits. I would urge them to get in contact with their supplier, and the replies I've got from the Minister state that they have until the 30th of June of this year to ensure that credits are administered on their bill. So if you haven't received those credits, get in contact with your public representative. There is a case to be made that you have credit from your supplier, and in 3 cases that I'm aware of in the South Kildare area, all 3 have received those credits now, and it turns out that their company actually owe them rather than them owing the company, which is wrong that they actually have to go chasing their company, but that's the way it is, unfortunately.
All right, and the other issue then, Mark, that you were raising was to do with housing and problems there?
Yeah, there's an issue, again, unfortunately, Kildare County Council have used up all their funding. We got letters, all public representatives in Kildare got letters that new applicants for the housing aid grants, and that's the windows and doors and electric and heating supply, are now have reached their funding threshold and they're actually closed again. So I'm calling on the Minister to supply additional funding to Kildare County Council for those grants. You'd be very familiar, Owen, about the great grants that they are there for so many people in County Kildare. And I have an issue as well, Owen, I've been highlighting this with you for a long time now, where people are not getting enough money for the housing adoption grants. And unfortunately, in the last week, I've dealt with 2 families that have had to go to the credit union and 2 family members to install showers and level access showers in their own homes because they just didn't have the additional funding that goes to go with the grants. So we need to see those grants increased, the limits increased. And, you know, it's been with the minister now for 2 years, the grant, the report on that stage. It's simply not good enough. And unfortunately, 2 families last week had to go to credit unions, etc., to get the additional funding to allow them to live in their own home. So that's not acceptable in this day and age. So the government need to move on this. They're great grants, great people in Kildare County Council administering them, but unfortunately they've come to the end of their funding and they're now closed. The housing aid grant is now closed for new applicants and we still have problems with the housing adoption grant.
All right, Labour Senator Mark Wall on those issues. Thanks for joining us and good morning. And just to go back in relation to the parking of cars on the footpath out on Woodstock Street, Pat in Monastrevin has texted in to say, was there not something brought in a few years ago that you could take a photo of the illegally parked vehicle and send it to the appropriate authority? I'm not sure about that, Pat, but what I do know is this listener that has contacted us has passed those photographs on to local councillors, to Kildare County Council, and I think to the parking wardens on the Garda Síochána. But it continues to be a problem where those who are in wheelchairs and in buggies can't get past the cars because apparently, and according to photographs that we've seen, the 4 wheels of the cars are up on the footpath at Woodstock Street. The residents that live there would say, sure, where else are we going to park? And Mark Wall saying that we need more parking bays outside those houses. There's another one that came in. A man rang in and asked to make it aware on how there's a new walkway at Dunn's in Naas, and the amount of cars that continue to park on it is ridiculous. ridiculous. He says he approached a car who was parked on it as people couldn't get by and he was told to mind his own business. He asked the guards about it and they said they would see what was going on. However, they didn't say anything to the person in the car and ended up walking by the car parked on the pathway. And he says, how are we as the people meant to have the confidence to approach people when our guards don't? So that's a kind of similar situation in Naas. Keep those messages coming in.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, lots of messages coming in to the programme this morning. There's one here that says, could you please publicise this at all possible? It's from Deirdre, the secretary of the St. Macua's Historical Society. And on Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock in the old school hall in Staples Town, there's going to be a very interesting presentation based on a book by Seamus Kelly and Aileen Saunders about two pipers, John Ennis, who originated from Prosperous and emigrated to America, and his son Tom, a child prodigy. There'll be music by local musicians Brian and Niall Crehan, and Crack and a Cup on Tay. We'll have our lovely hall bathed in atmosphere. All are welcome. We welcome new members as well. A great group for just €10 membership for the year, and that's from the St. Macua's Committee. And that's that talk taking place in the old school hall in Staples Town this coming Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Let's go to Sinn Féin councillor Noel Connolly on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District. Noel, good morning to you and welcome back to the programme. And local morning, issues that you've raised with Kildare County Council, Noel, quite a lot that was brought up at the recent meeting. And first of all, you wanted Kildare County Council to confirm what progress is being made with the regeneration of St. Patrick's Park in Rathangan. It's in need of a facelift. It's going to get that facelift, but how are we progressing on it?
Yes, the report from KCC says that the tender for St. Patrick's Park was uploaded to e-tenders on the 22nd of March, which coincidentally was 2 days after I submitted this question. Following a request from a number of tenderers to extend the period, the price to tender, an extension of time for the return date has been extended to the 13th of May. I suppose this is a good sign because it shows that there's interest in the tender. The council expects to start the assessment process following this date. Your listeners will know that I've been on this show several times over the last 4 years on this issue. Early last year, we had a briefing which said that there should be work on site by last Christmas. With further delays, which I understand are due to delays in funding decisions in the central government Department of Housing, it feels like we've lost another year, to be honest with you. I've spoken several times about the department delays. Initial funding for this was approved in 2011, 13 years ago. I shudder to think at the difference in the cost after 13 years. I've been keeping a very close eye on this. It's gone on far too long. It has to be delivered by the end of next year. There's a good plan in place and it needs to be implemented.
Right. What about the timeline for the bylaws within the municipal district? There's a review happening, is there?
No, actually, the reason I brought this question was that these reviews can often creep up on us and require a fair bit of work on my part. So I just wanted a heads up on the timeline. So I've received a very comprehensive report from the council in relation to the parking bylaws. At the moment, we have 3 towns in our municipal district that have parking bylaws. They're Kildare, Newbridge and Monastrevin. The council doesn't expect that any of these parking bylaws would be reviewed during the lifetime of the council. In relation to the council cemetery bylaws, they came into force in 2019 and there's no statutory requirement or plans to review them at present. The alcohol bylaws were made on the 30th of November 2020. It's not proposed to review them either. And finally then, the casual trading bylaws were made in May 2022 and were statutorily bound to review them within 5 years. So hopefully I'll be lucky enough to be returned after June 7th, but I look forward to contributing to this process either way.
And finally, well, actually, 2 more issues, Noel, that you brought forward quickly on this. Any towns or villages around the Kildare Newbridge MD that don't want posters up for the local elections, your mug and other councillors' mugs up on the polls?
Yeah, I brought this motion because in 2019, a similar decision discussion even took place in May, which was too late as the posters are already up. Let me start by saying that posters are a necessary evil. They create awareness around elections, and they're very important for new candidates who don't have a profile like sitting councillors do. Personally, I think there should be a limit on the amount of posters that a candidate can use. At the moment, the only limit is the election spending limit of between 9 and 11,000 euro. The Tidy Towns adjudication process is during the election period, and I understand some Tidy Towns groups would prefer not to have posters in their area. I've looked at Tidy Towns reports during election and referenda and have never seen any points deducted because of posters. I understand the council has written to all Tidy Towns groups in the county seeking their input. In the past, candidates have agreed to voluntarily keep certain areas poster-free, like the bridge in Kilcullen or parts of Carra Village. Rattang and Tidy Towns have recently asked that a small part of the centre of the town and New Street remain poster-free. I have no problem with small areas, but would caution against blanket town bans. Electioneering is a very important part of our democracy, and we need to be wary of limits. And just to finish on this, Tidy Towns groups all over the county are doing excellent work and are to be commended for their efforts.
Right. Well, the other thing is, if you do put the posters up, any of those candidates, make sure that you take them down in a timely fashion.
Absolutely.
And the cable ties, and that we don't see posters flying all around the towns and villages after the elections. Finally then, Noel, what about any progress being made on the flood relief works in Lochmanan Green in Kildare Town?
I was on the show last year about this issue. We were due a report at Christmas. The deadline came and went. The report from the council this time says that topographical and ground investigation surveys are underway for a number of proposed retrofit projects in Kildare Town, including Lochmanan Green. Once completed, the information gathered in these surveys will be used to finalise detailed design for sustainable surface water management schemes, with priority being given to design options that maximise improved biodiversity. The residents at the bottom of Lochmanan Green in particular have been enduring these very damaging floods for a long time now. The way things are going, we're seeing more flooding events. We need urgent remedial action. I understand the ultimate solution will cost up to €1 million, but water butts offered to every home, some bioswales, and planting water-hungry trees like hawthorn or beech birch would make an immediate difference.
Sinn Féin councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Noel Connolly, thanks for your time this morning. Noel, catching back up on some more of the messages that have come in to us then. Commiserations to the Kildare ladies on your loss to Dublin yesterday. Keep the faith. It's only your first game in the senior championship. You've brought great joy and excitement to the Kildare public over the last year. Well said. That comes in from Finbar. We're going to be reviewing that game in the next 10 minutes or 15 minutes or thereabouts. And you can also hear more on that game later on this evening on the Kildare Scoreboard programme from 6.25. Another one says, Owen, this comes in from Mary Smullen in Salins. I don't know if any of your listeners saw the boats going up the Grand Canal in Salins on Saturday. It was a lovely sight. It was a beautiful day. This is just one of the boats and a fantastic photograph of it. And Mary says, we are very lucky in Salins to have this in our village, and with the Grand Canal Greenway now open, no excuse not to see the lovely sights along the canal. Thanks for that message, Mary.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Catching up on a few more messages that have come in. One here says, please bring up the subject of no broadband connected to many houses in Kilkee, and NBI saying they can't do anything about it. Who's responsible for this, as we were all promised broadband for 2024? I've brought this to the attention of the politicians and TDs to no avail. We are waiting 15 years for broadband, a third world service out here for standalone houses built by people like ourselves in Kilkee. Might follow up on that on the programme tomorrow, or if any of the councillors or TDs are listening and they have any responses, you can get them into us. Another one here says, Owen, on the subject of posters, etc., can someone please remove the bunting erected in Castle Dermot for the St Patrick's Day parade, and also there's some bunting left up from the county final in 2023. All right, not sure who's responsible for that, but the message is out there. Another message came in to say that I live in Park Wirra in Newbridge and I'm not happy to have refugees coming into the estate. You say that they will be unvetted men. There's no confirmation that that's what they will be. We're told that it'll be one singular family, and you say that this is not a Park Wirra issue, it's a Newbridge issue. Councillor Nuala Killeen is on the line, Social Democrats councillor up on the Selbridge-Leixlip Municipal District. Morning to you, Nuala.
Good morning, Owen, and good morning to your listeners.
Just before we get to issues that you raised with the council, we were talking earlier on about how it's understood that a single house in Park Wirra in Newbridge is to be let by the government to house international protection applicants. There have been a number of meetings held. Residents are unhappy about this, although there are some residents that say they would support refugees moving in to the house. Catherine Murphy, Social Democrats TD, raised this issue with Minister Roderick O'Gorman back in January as to whether or not residential units were going to be used to house refugees in housing estates, etc. And she was told that that wasn't the government policy. So questions now being raised as to whether or not the policy has changed, Nuala.
Well, I'm not sure about the policy change, and I'm not 100% familiar with the Newbridge issue, but it was very pertinent in a Leixlip context in relation to a wholly unsuitable house, which for the last year has been nothing but problematic for the entire town. But there is a specific part of the statutory instrument, and it basically states that Class 20F of Statutory Instrument 605 of 2022, where the local authority have a regulatory role in verifying properties meet the standards for building, planning and fire certificates. And it says that suitable properties, there's a list there, anyone can Google it, but residential houses or apartments are not suitable for international protection clients or residents or whatever. So, like, the I don't know if there's been an update to the regulations. We've had no information about that because we know in the context of the Leixlip issues that we're dealing with, I'm not aware that anything has changed. But it's something I can pursue for you and try and find out this week if that would be helpful. But really, like, it's important for people to get safe and secure accommodation if they're fleeing turbulent areas. But it's really not appropriate to warehouse people in unsuitable accommodation. It causes a huge number of problems. As you'll probably hear, like, with the things that came up at our municipal district. But yeah, hopefully they haven't just expanded that to include any kind of accommodation, because, you know, people who are already suffering, you know, it's difficult for them.
All right, we'll keep on top of it anyway, and if any updates come through from local residents or public representatives, we'll bring it to listeners here on the programme. Let's go up then to your area around Leixlip and Selbridge then, Nuala, and you say following the adoption of the Safe Roads, Safe System approach for roads in the Confi Master Plan, that the approach plan now be designated with resources to plan and project, manage implementation, that stakeholders may be involved to a meeting to discuss. Stick that into plain English for me, Nuala, will you? What
yeah,
are you looking
for? Say, for example, Confi Master, Confi's already an area in Leixlip, and then Confi Master Plan Zone indicates it's basically a blank canvas of fields, you know, to put it very plainly for you. And so basically I'm seeing this as an opportunity to implement really excellent road safety strategies. Now, as you know, say, for example, in Salins, a group would have got together, they would have implemented recommendations on, you know, pedestrian crossing pathways, how to make it safer, to reduce road fatalities. And Ireland has signed up to a road safety strategy 2021 to 2030 to reduce injuries from road crashes by 50%. Do you know what I mean? And so obviously this year there's been a focus on the rise in, you know, incidents on the road. And I'm saying, look, this Confi Master Plan area is a blank canvas. We need to get into action now, get people together, let's start planning it now. And that's really what the question was, you know. So, and unfortunately the team deemed that it's a bit too soon to be doing that, but I don't think it's ever too soon to be putting road safety as a high priority in an urban zone, you know. So basically the feedback in the meeting was, look, sure, if somebody puts in a planning application for housing, we can look at the road safety then. But I firmly believe we could be a lot more proactive than that and put road safety. And actually it was two local people who proposed this initiative, and I think it's fantastic. And I was wanting, they're the experts, I was wanting them to sit down with the transport team and, you know, kind of get cracking on this, because I think any initiative that's innovative, that puts safety and people at the foremost in a planning context, really should, you know, we should run with these these things and do them, because other European countries are implementing them. So, yeah, I'm, that's what I'm trying to do there. But they reckon it's too soon.
Similarly then, Captain's Hill, traffic issues on Captain's Hill have been ongoing since I've been a wee fella, and a lot of people were a lot younger as well. What's happening with Captain's Hill?
Well, they've been ongoing since I was first appointed to the council as well. And actually, like, really, I've been seeking that road, you know, traffic safety assessments, junction improvements. There's a few housing estates that kind of enter and exit off the Captain's Hill. And of course, we've the Dart Plus coming. And so it's really in the form, the forefront of everybody's minds is like, really, how are we going to manage an increased 1,700 houses that are going to traverse Cope Bridge? And, you know, like, really, all the junctions need to be improved. A lot of money needs to be spent there. As part of the Confy Master Plan, they had listed improvements from the new Confy Blank Canvas area down to the leaks up Main Street. And actually, in some of the language, they kind of say the Main Street, where the new area of Confy, they've called that the Main Street. I've said we need to avoid confusion there, because we're going to be like, which Main Street you're talking about now, you know, so might need to rename that. But I just think that now is the perfect time, before anything starts, to plan these things, to put initiatives in place, to have a clarity on what the road safety improvements are going to be, to budget for it. We all know things take time, you know, but you have to be proactive about these things, and you have to have it, even if it's a 5-year plan. So I'm really keen to get these things done, but okay. Sure, look, it's too soon for the council, unfortunately.
What about the total number of planning permissions for houses granted in the municipal district in the last 5 years, and how many of those have commenced and been completed?
Well, that's a mystery, because they weren't able to provide that report for the meeting, which I was quite disappointed at. Now, they did confirm that they were developing an annual monitoring return. So basically, it would only cover the new county development plan, which started last year. But a rudimentary list they do not have, unfortunately, which is kind of surprising. We're at the height of the biggest housing crisis we've ever been in the middle of, probably since before the 70s, before I was born. So, yeah, a rudimentary list is not available, but I will go to the Department of Housing and see what they can offer if the council aren't able to provide a list. So I think it's important for us to keep a handle on how many uncommenced planning permissions are in the municipal district, really, is where I selfishly want to know. But obviously, countywide, we should be looking at it. And obviously, like, the local authority are a kind of contributor to commencements as well, you know, like, when they're building or acquiring houses, and up to the end of March they'd spent 30 million, so you'd kind of expect a rudimentary list of what's going on. So I'll go to the Department of Housing, and then of course there's details on the CSO, so I'll get my own list together. But people prefer a report from the local authority, do you know what I mean? Like, so I can kind of combine the data and stats I can find, but people prefer a report from the local authority, and that's why I would have asked them. But I'm happy to do my own work, it's no problem.
Briefly on this one, Nuala, you're keeping the need for a swimming pool in Leixlip and North Kildare in general on the agenda?
Yes, I mean, I'm super biased. I want a pool in Leixlip, obviously. At the time, I proposed the pop-up pool, which was a temporary pool that came last May. That was obviously used by more than 7,000 people. At that time, at the launch, I would have spoken to Swim Ireland, and they had more, you know, larger structures, more energy efficient, kind of a bit more like it would have accommodated more people. And I'm never going to not have it on the agenda. I want a pool for Leixlip. But actually, I'm pleased that the council are talking to Swim Ireland. So they've said they're currently in discussions with Swim Ireland and other bodies to advance a swimming facility for North Kildare. So a few months ago, I had kind of a more progressive response, but I'm always going to keep it on the agenda. And I'm pleased that the council are discussing the initiatives at Swim Ireland, because Swim Ireland have some good solutions. And if it's an interim or a longer term solution, I'm never not going to have it on the agenda. And I will always want to pull for Leixlip, but I'm not selfish. I will, you know, allow one for North Kildare as well. But I think it's actually a resource that, when it was in Leixlip temporarily, it was used by more than 7,000 people. So the need for it is proven. So I think we just need to keep pushing for it now. And hopefully, like, at some stage, it will come.
Okay. Social Democrats councillor on the Kildare, on the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District. Thanks indeed for joining us, Nuala. Let's go from local issues then in and around the towns and villages to sporting action involving the entire county. County, and Seamus Dillon is on the line to look back at some of the weekend's sporting action. And Seamus, if we start off with the hurlers, we'll talk about the Kildare women in a moment, but the hurlers made it 2 wins from 2 in the Christy Ring Cup with 3-27 to 14-point win against Wicklow at the weekend. And they made a little bit of hard work of it in the first half, Seamus, but came good in the second half to get a comprehensive win.
Yeah, morning on. Yeah, it sort of was maybe a little continuation of the performance in Sligo. Again, the Kildare never looked like losing, but still didn't perform to their best. And it was something similar. They led 111 to 8 points at the halftime, courtesy of a brilliant, brilliant James Burke goal after 5 minutes. As good a goal as you're probably going to see this year. Picked up a loose ball about 45 metres out from goal, ran on a bit of a run and let fly, and from the minute it left his hurl, it was only heading in one direction, and that was the top of the Wicklow net. But you know, James back to somewhere near his best. 5 points last week, 1-4 again yesterday. Did leave the field before the end with maybe a bit of a hamstring injury, but that hopefully will clear up during the week. But as I say, yeah, right up to the halftime break, Kildare, Wicklow kept in the game, kept, you know, closing the gap, and Kildare 1-3 to 5 points, 1-4 to 6, 1-7 to 7. It was 4 late points to 1 just before the halftime break that opened up a gap. The returning Mark Delaney hitting 2 of those, Murray's Curtin and a Jack Sheridan free, and Kildare led 1-11 to 8 at the break. But whatever happened at the halftime interval and the few words that might have been said, and I think in fairness to Brian Dowland, he said it was calm and collected in there. But you'd like to have been a fly in the wall. But certainly when Kildare came back out, they hit the first 5 points in a row. Wicklow got a point back through David Maloney, the centre half forward, but then Kildare went on a scoring spree again and hit 5 more and made a couple of substitutions. The introduction of David Qualter, he hit 3 points, Darren Melville with 2. The Kildare second goal then in the 62nd minute just closed it off completely as a contest. It was Dara Gearan, the Naas wing half forward, who got on the end of a long ball, and he finished it well to the back of the net. And then as we closed in on injury time, Murray's Curtin, brilliant pass from Jack Sheridan, picked him out in space inside the 13 metre line, and from close range he banged it to the back of the net. And you know, it was a really, really resounding second half performance from Kildare. Dry conditions, the ground getting a bit harder. You can see the performance has been upped, and the tempo was upped in that second half, and that's what you come to expect from Kildare. And you know, over the next week or two, there's some really hard matches coming down the line. I mean, Derry visit Newbridge next Saturday for a 1 o'clock throw-in. They had a 17 points to 12 win over Wicklow in the round one, but they hit 226 last week against, on Saturday afternoon against Tyrone. And London, who are sitting at the top of the table at the moment, they put 426 past Sligo to beat them with 26 points on Saturday. And, you know, that just shows what London are going to bring to the table. So, you know, where Kildare would have been favourites for the competition on, there's a lot of work to be done yet.
Let's hear from manager Brian Dowling.
Yeah, I suppose the first half was very frustrating. I thought there was a lot of stop start in the game. You know, there was no flow to it, a lot of freeze. So instead of half time, just cut down the freeze, get on more breaking ball, and just kind of be more clinical. And I think we did. We picked it up big time. It was a much better performance, obviously, in that second half. You know, put up a big score. So look, it's good. And we head into next Saturday now, massive game against Derry. So at least we have a bit of confidence going into that now.
Also played yesterday afternoon were the Kildare senior ladies. They suffered defeat in their opening game of the Leinster Senior Football Championship against Dublin in Parnell Park, 4-15 to 2-4. As expected, Seamus, I know you weren't at this game, but it was a huge step up for Diana Hora's side playing the Leinster and All-Ireland champions Dublin, and a good experience to test themselves against the best.
Yeah, look, as we've spoken so many times about, and Tommy and on the Friday morning previews on, Kildare gone 22 matches without a loss, and this day was always coming that they would lose a game, number one, but number two, that they were going to come up against either Meath or Dublin in the opening round of the Leinster Senior Championship. You know, it was going into the lines then, for the want of a better word, and they, you know, they'll be disappointed with the results, but I think, you know, from an educational point of view, to see where Kildare ladies football is at the moment, that's the stand. Dublin are the standard bearers, they're the All-Ireland champions. You have to, you know, put your foot on the table there to see where you are, test the water, and certainly there's a gulf in standard, but I wouldn't be worried from the point of view of, I think Kildare will be in a good position going to play Meath in a couple of weeks' time, I think, and then they have Leash in round three, and they'll be hoping to get two victories, which they're well capable of, to get back maybe into a Leinster final against Dublin again, and they will have learned from yesterday. Roisin and Byrne crying off late was a big loss to them. Leash Lenehan still has to come back into that full back position, and Niamh Farrelly, who came on as a sub in the league final against Tyrone, hit 2-2 yesterday and certainly put her hand up for a place on the team, a starting place. The Kilgar was brilliant again yesterday, and you know that's a positive. There's some great footballers coming through on, but a disappointing result, but certainly an educational one, and I think Kildare will benefit from it in the long run.
Here's Kildare manager Diana Hora.
They got us on the hop. We've never played the All-Ireland champions at senior level, and that's what Dublin are today. We needed time to settle, and you can see there's some really impressive passages of play. I think it was the best thing that could have happened to us in terms of really getting a good feel of what a senior championship team is all about, getting to grips and getting an understanding about the lack of time you have on the ball. And there was no other way that we'd have known that until we actually got to experience that today, because obviously you've seen everyone we've played to date. We haven't played any senior championship. I'm hugely impressed. When we did play, we played.